Now we're going to read a scripture together, and then I will share a little bit from this scripture. I'll begin by a little. You may remember, if you're actually listening to me, that I told the story of a young couple in their 40s. I think it was probably last night I said this, and how they had come to me about the fact that, to their shock, he had been invited if he would leave his work and become assistant pastor of a very live Baptist church. And he came to talk to me about it, and then I talked a little some days later to his wife. And when I told that story, I spoke about how I had said to him, this life, does this invitation really surprise you? Is it really such a great shock? Because I know that when God is working in a life, there is a surprise to what he says to you, but then there's not a surprise in the other way, because it rises from within. And he said to me, if I remind you, he said to me that even when I was in New Zealand, he said, I felt that somehow the call of God was on my life, and it has never left me, it has risen in me, and so on. And his wife said something similar. So it had been planted in the inward man. And as we talked, and I talked to them again, they briefly came to me maybe 2 weeks ago, of their anxieties. It's a very big decision. They have children. His mother lives with them. They have responsibility for his mother. It will mean moving house, selling up where they are. Big, big changes. And naturally, there were fears, anxieties. So there's this inward pressure, this inward movement, coupled with an external invitation, and with all the possibilities and responsibilities. He will be expected, although many years ago I understand he did do some theological training, but these denominations expect you to, you know, have bits of paper and all the rest of it. So it will mean him doing studies as well as pastoring and so on. And as we were talking, I said this to him, when God has spoken to you, you can walk on water. I had never thought that before. But I came to you, to this meeting this morning, to speak on something quite different. But a few of us were in the little prayer room there before the meeting, and this quickened to me again. You know where this comes to. I know that God has spoken to some of you over these days. And you look at the challenge that that word has brought to you. The changes, perhaps the conflict into which you are going to go to honor God's word. And I say to you, when God has spoken to you about something, you can walk on water. The impossible becomes possible to you. The renovation of your family, the readjustment of habits of years and the way your family, your life, has been structured so that practically speaking, your your life has revolved around your children, your family, and instead of God being truly first, other things have been first. For other people, it's their life has revolved around some particular secret lust. In the hidden place, sexual wickedness and the awfulness of pornography that affects young men. And when God speaks to you to be pure, you can walk on water. You can be free. You can be clean. And remember, walking is a series of steps into the impossible, which is now possible because he's spoken to you livingly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's read the story of Peter in Matthew 14. And it's in verse 22. Matthew 14. Immediately, there'd been a miracle that he had fed 5,000 men, and the disciples had been involved, ladies were involved, children were involved. Something incredible had happened. They wanted to make Jesus king, and he walked away. He walked away from their prophet fame because he knew their hearts weren't right. And he wasn't going to be enthroned on the basis of wrong ideas in the hearts of the people who were enthused about him. You and I need something much more than getting enthused for a day or two. Anyway, immediately, it says, verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I find that quite remarkable. If you've got a little note in your Bible where it says that Jesus made, my Bible says made his disciples, you might find that the word has got two translations. One is he commanded, the other one is some people think it means invited. I want to say to you, there's far too much of the idea of Jesus, of God inviting us to give his heart, to give our hearts to him. There's far too much invitation around in the churches today, and it's been as though God is sort of inviting me. Would you do me a favor, please? Will you please sort of give your heart to me? Will you do my will? I do invite you. You know, please, the more true word is he commands you. He commands you. When you hear the word of God, it is a command. And I say this to you all, and you preachers, and those would-be preachers, and every one of you, Paul said in the Roman epistle, he begins his epistle in chapter 1 like this and he ends it like this, and he said that he had been sent out to bring people to the obedience of the faith. To bring us to the obedience of the faith. Not take or leave a little bit. So Jesus commanded them to get into the boat and go to the other side. Verse 23, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's good to know, isn't it? On the mountain, overlooking the lake. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there, up on the mountain. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. They were obedient men. They'd got into the boat. Some of them, it was familiar territory. They were fishermen, after all. Others were landsmen. But at least you had some skills on board. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. God had spoken the word, the Lord Jesus had spoken a word, they'd obeyed, they were going forward, they didn't quite know to what, and now there's something contrary. Always it's the same. Always it's the same. God speaks a word to us, we know it's Him, and we must obey, and there's the contrary that comes. It is a remarkable thing, and it is quite appropriate, by the way. You know, how often you meet some people, I remember, you know, some conversations as people are telling me that the Lord has spoken to them of some changes that they must make, perhaps some alterations in their lifestyle so that the wife stops working and they take a cut in the income so that they now look after, they become mum instead of letting the state by means of this, or letting grandma kill herself looking after kids she shouldn't be looking after. I tell you, I have had ladies, grandmothers, weeping their hearts out because they are nothing more than glorified taxi drivers and child caregivers, and they were looking forward to their grandmother days when they could be prayer warriors and really backing the church. And instead, they're taking care of the children that their daughter should be taking care of at home, and raising them. And and I've even seen pastors like this, overwhelmed, rushing around here and there with his wife looking after the grandchildren. And meanwhile, the son and his wife are making plenty of dough so that they can get new this and new that and new the other. And God steps in with His values. And I hope that you are prepared to be a Christian and learn the culture of the kingdom of God and not the culture of upper Midwestern United States or the idiot madness of the culture of California. It's a big deal to really allow the culture of the kingdom of God to really enter in to our families. And sometimes when God speaks, the challenge comes before, and sometimes it comes after. The wind that's contrary comes, that would contradict everything that the Lord is saying to you and has said to you. And of course, they did the thing that you would expect. You know, if we were to read the other account, they rowed and got nowhere, you know, try and get there. He said, go to the other side. And here they were stuck in the middle, and the wind is contrary. I'm thinking of Paul as he opened up, you know, about in the meeting about storms and so on. He's remembering, and they come. And he said, he finished off by saying, they come and they go, but the sun is always there. It's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. But here they are, and this is what it says. In the fourth watch of the night, verse 25, Jesus went to them. I know that he'd been praying up there alone, and when you are a man of the quiet place, you are often shown things, because God gives you a heart that cares. And when God gives you a heart of care, of loving care for people, He sometimes shows you things. And Jesus came to intervene just at the right moment. Fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest time, and where they're wearing themselves out, and he comes to them. And isn't it wonderful? He says, he came to them, he went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Sometimes when the Lord is working in unexpected ways, you know, because this is a bit of a shock, we call out and say, "Oh, it's a spirit, it's a spirit, it's a spirit. There's something wrong here, it's evil." You know, we shouldn't be on the middle of the sea tossed around. And now, not only have we got the waves and the winds blowing and we're worn out trying to row and the waves are overcoming us, but now we've got to contend with something ghostly moving through. It's Jesus all the time. And the Lord calls out, doesn't he? And he says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I." If you've got a little margin, he said, "I am. Be of good cheer. I am. Don't be afraid." And I want to say that to you in the name of our Lord Jesus today. If God has spoken a word to you and already you're feeling the contrary winds that say, "No, don't do it, don't go that way, don't obey, it's going to be a big deal." And the Lord Jesus says to you this morning, and he'll say it to you tomorrow, "Be of good cheer, be of good cheer." He says, I am, don't be afraid, don't be afraid to go forward into the unknown. Obedience, in some respects, in earlier days, is going forward into the unknown. For some of us who've experienced obedience through the years and particular times, and we've gone forward, he surprised us the way he comes to us. And he has never failed us. So now when he says, "Go on, go forward, this is what I want next," you don't sort of hang back so much, you know, because you've got a bit of experience that, well, he has never failed me yet. Every promise he has met. Ever heard of a lady, an old blues singer named Ethel Waters? You know, she used to sing that, an old blues song. "Every promise he has met. He has never failed me yet. Every promise he has met." Hallelujah. Come on, let the testimony rise. Put your hand up, those who can say, "Amen, Bernard." Every promise he has met. Amen. He has never failed me yet. And he shall not fail you, young brother, young sister. Those who he's calling, he's spoken to you this weekend, he says to you, "Though the winds are contrary," though they're contrary, it's all right, it's all right. "I am, be not afraid. In fact, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. He's going to reveal himself to you. I do not know how. It will be so tailor-made to you, tailor-made." I had a tailor-made suit, only one in my lifetime. It was in Malaysia, and I can remember the tailor taking the measurements and every little bit, and it was a linen suit, and it was a beauty, you know, and then I had to go for a second fitting, tailor-made. And everything that God does in our lives, it really is, you would be amazed, it's tailor-made. Anyway, you know what happens. Peter, verse 28, answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." If you want to, by the way, to confuse a flight attendant on an American airline, when they come round and say, what would you like to drink? Say water. Say water. And they'll say, pardon? Water. Pardon? Water. Oh, water. Anyway, he walked on the water. If it's you, bid me come to you on the water. Bid me come to you. Command me. Command me. Command me. And Jesus says this wonderful word to Peter. He said, come. Come. And when Jesus says to you, come, 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 come further, I tell you, with his word is power to do it. With his word is power to walk on water. To do that which has scared you to death when you've even thought of it before, and now there's power. The impossible becomes possible. And dear Peter got out of the boat because he'd heard the word from Jesus, come. But you all understand that Peter had an inadequate understanding of who Jesus was. I don't know whether you realize that, but he only had a growing, slow growing understanding that Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus was also God. And of course, you know that he was kind of challenging Jesus a little bit by getting out of the boat. And as he walked, the waves were bursting around him and the wind was blowing. They had not abated. And he became conscious of them and began to sink. And we know the story very well. And we say he began to sink because he saw the winds and the waves. That was not the main reason that he began to sink. It was because the main reason was he had a doubt. He did not yet know how great Jesus is. How he still had this inadequate understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus and his abilities. And that translated into a over-consciousness of the difficulties around him. An over-consciousness of the difficulties. That's what always happens. And thus he began to sink, but you will all know, because you know it so well from Sunday school days, the children know this story, how Jesus would not let him sink, but raised him up. And immediately they were in the boat, and the boat was where it was meant to go. And then, you know this, don't you? And so he had this, Jesus is able to hold you. Jesus is able to keep you. Jesus is able to enable you to do the impossible, to take steps and walk on the water to which he's bid you come to him. He's waiting for you in deeper ways than you've ever known him. Brother, sister, older lady, older man, it's relevant to all of us. It's relevant to me. He says, come, Bernard. You say, but oh, I already know him. He's in me. Yes, but he's saying, come discover me more than you've ever discovered me. Come discover my care. Come, walk, walk, walk. Come discover my power afresh. Come discover my comforting love. Come discover the way that I pour out hope and faith into you and increase. Come, come, come to me. That's what his word is. It's not really simply, go and do this thing. Go and do this thing you got to do to get straight or something. Not like that at all. It's come to me as you obey. Hallelujah. That's what I discovered when he called me out of industry. Do you know, I was only a young man. I was 24 or 25. He called me out of industry. It was a shock to me, but in another way, it wasn't a shock. And by this time, I was giving away because he'd got hold of my pocketbook. I was giving away more than half my income. I didn't need it. I had no savings. And here he was calling me to go to a Bible seminary, pay, and there was no grants and so on and so forth. And I tell you, he did a good job, did Jesus. I thought, well, I'll drive up there. I had an MG sports car. And I thought to myself, well, if the worst comes and I got no money for the first semester's fees, then I'll sell the MG. And you know what happened? Driving up the 400 miles to the seminary place, the MG was totaled. Finished. Hallelujah. So I got there with nothing. Hallelujah. And Jesus called me to come. And I discovered he cared. You know, are you getting the picture? Hallelujah. You step out of the boat because Jesus said, come, and he'll show himself to you as he's never shown himself to you. More and more and more. When he speaks to you, you can walk on water. You can, that which is impossible. Hallelujah. That's my little word to you. It's 12:05. Time to finish. But glory to God. You can walk on water. And I said this to this young couple, or younger couple. I said, if God has spoken to you, I don't know how he'll do it. He'll sort out the house. He'll sort out necessary this and that. He'll sort it out. He'll supply. I don't know how. And you won't know how until you get out of the boat, start walking, because he said, come. And this is the way faith becomes established and deepened and fills us. Is it? Am I making sense? Amen. Amen. Walk into your lonely place. He said, you come to me. Come to me in the second half of 2017. Come to me into 2018. Come to me. Come to me. Amen. And you can walk on the water. When he's spoken. Hallelujah. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? That's what Jesus said to Peter. Why did you doubt? Come on, let's go. No rebuke from Jesus. You know, just a little gentle one. Little faith. You know, go on. Obey what he's said to you. In your marriages, in your families, in your church. You know, obey what he said to you about your career, about I don't know what. It's not my business. It's between you and him. But I know that as you obey, it affects me. Do you know what your obedience does to me? Do you know, you husbands, what your obedience will do to your wife? Oh, at first, she might be pretty annoyed. But I tell you, she'll respect you. And she herself will begin to see through half-opened eyes God's at work. And you wives, I tell you, I used to play, do you know the game called squash? It's a little bit like racquetball I used to play a lot of it in Australia with a little tiny ball that has to get very hot. It's very fast playing inside an enclosed court. You're chasing around like a lunatic. And I used to go when I visited England, and I used to play with a man who was a policeman. He was a tough London policeman, and his wife was in the church, and he never came to church. He never came to church. But somehow she wanted me to play with him. I never beat him. He was brilliant, but I enjoyed it anyway. And we'd sit and drink Cokes afterwards and chat a wee bit, and he knew I was a preacher from Australia, and I knew his wife, and all the rest of it. And then suddenly I'm in that church, And there he is sitting in the meeting. And of course I talked to him afterwards. I said, Steve, how did you come to be here? He said, in the end I gave up fighting. My wife, I couldn't deny her testimony. 30 years of marriage. Living pure and such a wonderful woman. And she loved Jesus. And in the end I just given my life to him. Do you know they went out to China as missionaries for about 10 or 12 years. That's Stephen Lorna. Hallelujah. But you know, it's his wife. She did the will of God. She honored the Lord with an unsaved husband. Praise God. You getting me? And in the end, her testimony was used by the Lord to break the heart of her husband, and he responded. Oh, walk on the water. When he speaks to you, the impossible becomes possible. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're speaking to us over these days, and I thank you from all my brothers and sisters. To me, it is a great delight to be among your people, to see faces, some of which I've known many a long year, and others that are quite new to me. And I praise you, Lord, that no one is new to you, but with every one of our lives, you are the loving God who with firmness and purpose is speaking to us and calling us to come, follow you. And hallelujah, we'll be able to say more and more, He has never failed me yet. Every promise He has met. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Tom.